Well, this subject came up at our youth advance. One of the kids asked what we believed about hell. So I tried to answer it, and then I realized it wasn't something you could do in 5 minutes. So I did give him a simple answer. I just said, well, we believe John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those are the two alternatives. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants them to have everlasting life. And I said, in a nutshell, that's what we believe. Thanks. You missed it. There we go. Okay. I warned him. I've got 45 pages of notes here. But I told him before I came out, there's no way. I can't. If I use my notes, we'll be here forever. But but we do have a little booklet here that we're going to make available at the family reunion called Is Hell a Place of Eternal Torment for the Wicked? And so it's 40 pages. And if I stood here and read it, I could probably read it to you in 30 minutes. But when you teach, you sort of take more time than you anticipate. So, but we'll have a good time getting into this today. Because for some people, hell elicits images of a bottomless abyss of devil spirits and fire, and people being tortured and screaming and all kinds of pictures, depending on what they've seen, the kind of movies they've seen, if they've read Dante's Inferno or not. But it's just a ghastly place where people are tortured forever and ever, and the devil's down there just having fun. Because if you know what the devil is, there's nothing he would like more than to live eternally and torture people. But that's not the case. Hell is not a place of eternal torment. The devil is not going to exist forever and ever. The wicked are not going to continue to be tortured. I mean, we think about a God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us, and then he would turn around and for the same people he gave his Son, condemn them to eternal torment. Doesn't make any sense. God would have to be psychotic. He would have to be schizophrenic to do something like that. We have a loving Heavenly Father, and it says in 1 Peter 3:9 that he wishes that no man perish, but that every man come to repentance. He's made provision for mankind through Jesus Christ. And if we believe in him, if we accept what God's done for us through Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice, we don't have to be concerned about it. We don't have to be concerned about hell because we ain't going to be there. Because we're going to live forever, and that's the biggest deal. But for the people who don't, for the people who reject God's gracious offer, they're not going to live forever in torment. They're not going to burn forever. Our loving Heavenly Father is not going to do that. But he is a just God, and those people will perish. That's what the Word says. Not only will they perish, but the memory of them will perish. They won't be hurtful to us any longer. So today we're going to see that the Word teaches that the wicked shall perish and be no more, that everlasting is not always the proper translation from the Hebrew and the Greek word, and that there are difficult figurative scriptures that must be understood in light of the many clear verses. Of course, John 3:16 is one of the clear verses. Gives us the two options. We either perish or have everlasting life. Of course, there are people who say perish doesn't mean kill, doesn't mean death. And of course, that Greek word apolumai, or apolumi, occurs 92 times in the Bible. Let's see, 33 of them is translated perish, 26 of them is translated destroy. And then 31 of them is translated lose or lost, like the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They say they're not dead, they're just lost. So it either means two things. It means to be perished, to be destroyed, to cease to exist, or to be lost. So is that what it means in John 3:16? That he wishes that people don't be lost, but they have everlasting life? What, are they going to be lost forever? I mean, are they going to not find their way to heaven or something? No, it's definitely the usage of perish there means to cease to exist, to die. When God told Joseph to get Jesus out of Egypt, what did he tell him? He said, get him out of here because Herod seeks to destroy the child. That's that word. Is he going to just lose him in the wilderness? No, he wanted his life snuffed out. when the apostles were on the boat on the lake, and they came to Jesus, woke him up, say, save us, lest we perish. Were they thinking about being lost on the lake? No, they were thinking about dying. And that's what it means, to die. And, you know, then they point out John 10:10, where it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. The destroy is the word there. It doesn't mean kill, or else it wouldn't be repeated. And I say that's correct. It doesn't mean the same thing as kill. It means destroy. Does kill and destroy have the same mind picture in your life, in your mind? No, it doesn't for me. When you talk about something being destroyed, I think about more than just being stabbed or dying. But, and it's progressive. Stealing is one thing. Then if it gets a little bit worse, then there's killing. And then if it gets worse, there's destroying. And we're going to see today that that's what we need to be afraid of. That's what, not you and I, because we're born again of God's Spirit. We don't need to be concerned about this topic, except in helping our friends, helping those who haven't met Jesus Christ yet, because they're the ones who need to be concerned about being destroyed. And we'll get to that verse here before we get going. So let's go to Psalm 37. And it's real simple. There's 3 points, there's 3 main things that teach us from the word that God, that people will not be, that hell is not a place of eternal torment for the wicked. First of all, it's God's love. Second of all, it's the language of the scripture that more than 25 different words are used to put forth the idea of death. And in Psalm 37, verse 9, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off. There's one of them, cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, verse 10, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider this place, and it shall not be. There's another one, shall not be. They're not going to be here. They're not going to exist any longer. Look at verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. You ever had a campfire? Have you ever seen logs go down to ashes? That's what it means to be consumed away. That's what's going to happen to the wicked people. They shall perish. They shall consume away. Look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forgetteth not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Again, those are the 2 alternatives, being preserved forever or being cut off, having their existence cut off, having their existence extended forever, or having their existence terminated. Verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. So there's many, many different words, all that give us the idea of termination, annihilation, that the wicked will cease to exist. But when people do not properly understand death, they cannot accurately conceive of hell. Death is the natural end of earthly human existence. It's not merely an instantaneous occurrence when one expires, but it's a continuing state. The word in the Greek is Hades. The word in the Hebrew is Sheol, and they're translated interchangeably, hell or the grave or the pit. However, they're never used of a place of everlasting torment. They're used of the state of death. When you are dead, you go to Hades. You go to hell. And people assume that if hell is the place, if Hades is hell, then we got a problem. Because if Hades is hell, it says in Acts that God did not leave Jesus' soul in hell, in Hades. Did he go to hell? Certainly not. Certainly not. It meant the grave. He did not leave his soul in the grave. He did not leave Jesus' soul without in that state of death. What did he do? He raised him from the death. He didn't leave him there. So that's one of the misunderstandings, that people think of that word Hades and the Hebrew word Sheol as being, which means grave them, the state of the dead. Of course, most people in the world don't believe that when you die, you're dead. They believe that when you die, you're not really dead. That you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Or you're floating around someplace or you're burning someplace else. But that's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach when you die, you're dead, and you stay dead until Christ comes back and comes back to get us. But release from the continuing state of death comes with the return of Christ. And the return of Christ spans a period of time. The events of the end times include Christ coming for his saints, the gathering together. And then, after a period of time, the events of the book of Revelation are noted, and we come back with Christ, Christ coming with his saints. Those who are gathered together come back with Christ. Then there are the first and second resurrections, and there's a period of at least 1,000 years between them, the resurrections of the just and the unjust, and then the last part, the end, is when death is destroyed and all things are subdued to God. People don't go immediately to heaven or to hell when they die. Jesus was very clear in his teaching. Let's look at John chapter 5. When people die, they remain in the grave until they're resurrected. Jesus Christ spoke of two resurrections, and he was aware of the differences between the first and the second. And in John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." He's talking about something happening in the future, and it's still future today. It hasn't happened yet. "In the which all that are" where? In the graves. That's would be Sheol in the Hebrew, Hades in the Greek, "shall hear his voice and shall come forth." From where? From the grave. That's right. They're in the state of death. They are dead. And that is how where they are. They're dead. They're in a state or a condition of death, and that's where they're going to come forth from. "They that have done good unto the resurrection of life," that's the first one, "and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." By the time of the second resurrection, everyone who has ever lived will be alive. The just will continue to live forever with God, but the unjust will not. The resurrection of the unjust is only temporary, for they shall meet a second and final death. The just, or he that overcometh, won't be affected by the second death. Revelation 2:11 says, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." The first resurrection is a resurrection of the just. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We'll hit a few verses here. The first resurrection is a resurrection of the just. Those who are resurrected at that time, the just ones, will live forever and not be subject to the second death. In Revelation 20, verse 5, it says, "But the rest of the dead..." Those are the ones who will be in the second resurrection. "The unjust, who were not in the first resurrection, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. That was the resurrection of the just that Jesus Christ spoke of. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Hallelujah, they're going to live forever. "On such the second death has no power." You're not going to die again. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The rest of the dead are part of the second resurrection, when the unjust are temporarily made alive. They are judged, and those whose names are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Look at verse 14, Revelation 20, 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The lake of fire is the second death. The lake of fire represents dying a second time. Not only, "and whosoever," verse 15, "was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." They're going to go into the lake of fire and they will die a second death. And the difference between the first death and the second death is that after we die the first time, there's a resurrection. After we die the second time, there is no resurrection. It's over. That's the difference. It says in Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto every man once to die, and after that the judgments." Then we'll be raised and we'll be judged. The just will be gathered together, and then there'll be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. If you make it in the resurrection of the just, you live forever. If you're in the resurrection of the unjust, it's only temporary, and we're going to see that in a minute. Revelation 21, Verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's where you and I come in. Isn't that great? That's where we are. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death." That's the second death. What happens in the second death? Well, life is terminated again. There is no consciousness and there's no hope of resurrection. Therefore, the people no longer exist. Remember, we read that in Psalm 37, which is also what's going to happen to the adversary. In Ezekiel 28:19, it says of the adversary, "And thou shalt never be anymore." When the devil is cast into the lake of fire, after that he shall never be anymore. He will not exist. Also, what's cast into the lake of fire? It says death and hell. I thought the lake of fire was hell. Are you going to cast hell into hell? Well, the word death is thanatos, which means to die. That is what happens when you enter into the state of being in Hades, which is the word hell. So death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So they are eliminated. They are terminated. They are annihilated. There will be no more, after the lake of fire, there will be no more death and no more state of the dead. It's over. God has eliminated it. And that's pretty neat. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah speaks of the second death of the ungodly in which there's no hope of resurrection or reward. In Isaiah 26:14, it says, "They are dead. They shall not live." Wait a minute. That contradicts what we've read before. Jesus Christ says everybody's going to get out of the grave, right? So what does this make? "They are dead. They shall not live." Well, which death is this talking about then? The second death. There's no resurrection from the second death. That's what it's talking about. This is what happens when they're cast into the lake of fire. "They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish." That's what's going to happen in the second death. The second death will terminate life forever for those for whom the justice of God demands it. They will not be consciously tormented, and suffer forever. They will simply be no more. The memory of them shall perish, and they will no longer cause hurt to God's people. Look at Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah speaks of the conscious torment, and he doesn't speak of conscious torment and suffering, but rather of perpetual sleep with no hope of awakening.